Well, there weren't any really good topics, so I guess we'll just pray and close here. And well, actually, thank you for filling those out. It was actually, I don't know. It's weird to say. I guess it was moving to read them. There were some fun ones. Somebody wants a sermon on stone soup. That would be a fun one to give. Yeah, there's just a lot in our hearts, for sure. Some of you guys asked for a lot of, there was a number of marriage-related, gender-related ones, and then gender-related to culture stuff, and that's obviously really huge an incredibly important need. And I don't know whether or not we could address that by, possibly you could connect with that class that's happening for the next 3 more weeks up in Fort Collins. We're finally going to get to the meat of it anyway. The last 2 weeks I've just been doing preliminary stuff. Or I could give that series here. I think it is very important for us to understand that and things related to marriage. I don't think we'll jump into that one here. There were some questions about apologetics, and we won't jump into that today. But I just want to let you know, boy, if you've got apologetics questions, the internet can really be your friend. I mean, I know we all know that, but there is amazing resources out there on all different kinds of subjects, really good stuff, and we can access those. I think the stone at the bottom of our kettle today, it looked like as I looked through all those things, was just experiencing the love of God, having that be an experiential thing in our life. And so I'm trusting you guys all have your vegetables hidden away in your cupboards. And I think this is what chapter is it? 1 Corinthians 14 morning, where we're going to believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us. We're going to believe that God himself, the real living God who died for us, who is always present, who knows every heart, who can speak through his body, whose Holy Spirit is inside us, we're going to believe that he will uniquely meet us. And I could roll on here for an hour about the love of God. There'd be encouraging thoughts in it for sure. But I think God wants us to pause and look up at the one that we're wanting to experience his love. And he's wanting us to apply faith, not just sit and listen and consume somebody's thoughts, but to believe he can speak to us. So I'd like us to just pray. Let's have a number of us pray. Just say, Lord, we're here to listen. This is a topic. It seems like you've touched a number of hearts here more than any other specific one. And just ask the Lord to give us his thoughts. And then I'm going to just see if someone's got a verse or a place that's touched them or some reality that's been significant to them. There's so many things that could be shared on that. So let's be people of faith. Let's be the people of God, and let's pray, and let's ask him for the next, we've only got about 30 minutes. Just ask him to give us thoughts that touch our hearts.
Amen. I think you really are real. You're really here, and you really want to speak. And we really need help, God, hearing from you, having our hearts in a place to receive, a place of faith where we believe you. We believe you want to speak, and we're ready to listen. God, I just pray you would get our hearts in a place, Lord, guard us against distractions, God, and the evil one, and worries about today or tomorrow. Lord, I just pray help us to be here, be present. Know you, know your presence, to quiet our hearts, Lord, and help us be still before you. Know you're God. You're the one who rules and controls everything. You're the one who's been gracious to us, God, and we ask for your grace now to hear and to understand what you speak. I pray you would touch us with your love, God, in a way that goes beyond this morning, God, but really does, God. It core parts of our heart, Lord, that transform us and walk us in the reality of your love on a day-to-day basis. God, we need that. And we ask you to bless this time today.
Father, I just confess that human wisdom, apart from you, is just foolishness. And so I just beg you that you would speak to us, that you would open up our minds. The disciples, apostles back in the day, they were just ordinary guys. You got fishermen, you got tax collectors, you have a doctor, you got a guy that was really schooled in Jewish law, all these different backgrounds, and people were astonished because they were speaking at such a high level. Pharisees and Sadducees are like, what are we going to do with these guys because they have so much wisdom? And we're still in this age where you still want to speak to your people. You are the person that has all the wisdom. Wisdom was around before the creation of the universe and earth, when you set the boundaries of the sea. So I pray that we would just seek you, seek your name, seek your presence. Help us, Holy Spirit, to have the faith that you do want to speak to each individual person here. You know us intimately. You know exactly where we're at. We know ourselves. And you do want to give us wisdom. You want to give us pearls that you can change our life and direct us and make us more and more into your image. Spirit, that we would be one more step closer to the product that you want to produce in this community. We want to reflect your greatness, your glory, your likeness. That we would just hear from you, and that we just have expected hearts to be able to hear what you have for each one of us.
Lord, I thank you that you are a real God who can speak through us. Thank you, God. One day you're going to speak to us face to face. We will stand and we will talk with you. We will dialogue with you. I just praise you that this is all just as real to you right now as it will be on that day. That you're with us. That you love us, that you care about us, that you want to enter into our world. Well, actually, Lord, you're already here. But you just want our hearts to open up and to know that you enter in. As far in as can be gone, Lord, you are there. You're present with each one of us. And I pray, God, that you love this body through this body. Lord, fill us up. Give us your thoughts. Let us speak love to one another. Let us speak faith to one another. Lord, I'm not a very charismatic church, but I pray that we believe that you and touch our heart with something that we're to speak. And is your word for the moment. I thank you for the faith that's here. I thank you for the love that's here. I thank you for the heart to serve and to care that's here. Just ask Jesus that that be expressed as we spend time together. In your name. Amen. So experiencing the love of God. Having a sense that it's real, that it's present, that it's powerful. You think is an aspect of that God is just made real to you. That's you know what? I don't know if I want to use a mic. I set it down on purpose. I don't even want to record it, but I don't want to be the speaker. So I'm not using a microphone. But some of you sweet sisters don't have a very loud voice. I will hand it to you. That'll get you to speak that. I'm just going to... If you can't hear me in the back, so Aaron, if you can't hear me, wave, okay? You'll need my guide. Okay, that's what I thought. So Love the body. Who's got a thought? Who's got a thought that you think, you know, I think this is a helpful thought. We don't want to speak long. But who's been touched by that, or who has an aspect of that that they think could be a blessing? Yeah, right.
Look at this, Tom, John. I found a stone out at the visitor center last week. It says "Love Land." It was found. I found it on our big heart out at the visitor center, where the Chamber of Commerce is sitting up there. And on the back, it says, "You found me." I don't know if you've seen these before. You found me. Place me on Facebook at this hashtag, which my daughter did, and then hide me again. And, I mean, it was found at the center of love in Loveland next month. It's just kind of a token. Go hide this, John.
Okay. One of you is going to find us in your car when you go on.
I lock my car.
So, the places God touches me most that I feel his love is, he's always with me. Sometimes I'm not with him. And when I acknowledge that in my daily moments of my life, God is so kind, so loving, even just silly little things. One of the things that comes to mind is when I lose my keys. And God certainly isn't a genie that just poof, fixes things for me. But often if I'm busy and frustrated with that loss, I can stop and just ask him. And almost every single time, he puts him right with me. And I just feel that kindness and that love towards me in those tiny moments in my life. I just really appreciate that.
And then, so what did Trudy share there? What was her message? What was her point?
The small things.
Small things be part of it, yeah.
God cares about her and wants to help her. Bless her.
Yeah. And yeah, what else I also heard related to that is that we do have to turn toward him. We do have to turn toward him. You have to pray. You have to engage. You have to look to him. You know, Jesus said, "Remain in my love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." Now, if you're wrestling with experiencing the love of God, perhaps you go, "Well, I seek God, but I don't find that." But certainly, that's a part of it. We stop and we turn toward Him.
John,
yeah,
I'd like to share a thought. So one of the ways I experience God's love the most is through you all, through His people, and for me, being able to be real and honest about struggles or loneliness or whatever it is, that's extremely important for me because I'm a single guy, I'm a grown man, and my family lives overseas, a big portion of them. It's really important for me to be able to have people in this church that I can talk to, and the Freemans, the Hollies, so really every family here I feel like I can talk with and be real with, and I don't have to put on a mask, and that's really important for me in my background, what I had to do, or felt like I had to do. So, yeah, that's how I experienced God's love here, and I think being willing to look to God's people to receive love is really, really important for each of us. If we're not willing to look to other people, we can often miss a lot of love from God. Does that make sense?
Okay, that's a great word. I got two thoughts out of there, but being willing to reach out to other people. And Rob, could you say more about how does it make the love of God real to you? How does it go beyond the person with God connect when you share your life?
This is the last part of what you just said.
How does it go beyond the person? So obviously, if I sit down and share my life, that can be encouraging to me. It's just encouraging to share. But you said it connects you with the love of God. So how does it go past the person?
Well, oftentimes I'm sharing something challenging. Not all the time, but often. And so the body, whenever I am willing to be vulnerable and talk with someone about it, I receive truth, a reminder of what God's promise is and his heart towards me. And so that would be one way that it directs my attention to the Lord and his love. And then I had another thought, but I lost it. So was there a second part to your question?
I'm just throwing out thoughts about being open with other people.
So, and then in celebrating too, like for me, when somebody, and I find it's hard to sometimes rejoice with those that are rejoicing, because I get caught up in my own stuff and it's like, oh, that's great, is how I feel. Maybe I act more interested. I'm just confessing this to you all. I'm sorry, I'm not, not a better person. But, it's really cool when I know people are genuinely excited for me when something good happens, and to receive, you know, that type of care too is really important. And I feel like we do that really well here, and experience it here more than probably any other time in my life. So so both sides, mourn with those who are mourning, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. While remembering truth from the Word and what the Holy Spirit's revealed to each of us is really important.
Yeah. And I really appreciate about Rosh the fact that you are open, you're very genuine. And as we struggle to experience the love of God, you could ask yourself, when's the last time I had a good conversation with somebody else? When's the last time where I just sat down and I felt like, wow, I just really was open and real about my life? And Rob's right, you are in a church where that can happen. But you have to pursue that, you have to access that. I think it is a big God connect. Being open with another human being makes my life real, and then when I'm real, I just feel more connected to God. I feel more known. Other thoughts?
Yeah. John, you said something about the body being in the body, the love in the body. Is that what you're kind of drawn for mostly?
That was Rob's thought, that as he is able to be real with other people, it connects him with a sense of God's connection with him.
Yeah, so my experience is, we've been through a journey, of course, here. Most of you guys for close to 20 years now. And I just want to echo that absolute, requirement. There's no way that God can get us to where he wants us without being, having relationships like Rob's talking about. One confession, is that,10 or 15 years of it, I didn't get the relational part very well at all. My own issues with, close relationships, family, and so forth. But there's just no other place to, be home. The hardest things, it's just so easy to just walk away, right? And leave. And so I think that's just the biggest part of the body life. That's using it. Somebody told me a quote that C.S. Lewis said that I've been thinking about lately, is that when you got saved, God, committed 100% to your perfection. God does not just leave you. And he wants not perfect people, but he wants you just the way he wants you. So I'm just kind of using that as one motivation to realize that it's not going to be what I thought, it should be, or how I think I should look or behave or overcome but him. And if it is in the body that he's committed to, it won't happen. You know.
I mean, bouncing off that, I just something that Jesus said to me a long time ago that kind of thought in my head was, I'm a perfectionist. I have like tried to make, there is no one in this room as hard as I am myself. That's just me. And I'm working through that. But one of the things Jesus said to me a long time ago, just in a quiet still voice, is, I'm the one that's perfect. You're not. So you can just rest in my own perfection. And that was something that, so Paul, you're talking about, huh? They invest in perfection, that he will get you to that 100% perfection. But then there's experiencing the love of God, for me, is can go up and down certain times, but it's just resting in that you've got the plan, and I don't have to be perfect. You're perfect. And having access to that can be good. And then bouncing off of what Rob said, and being able to talk to people and say, you know, I'm struggling with X, so I'm accessing him and saying, hey, I am not perfect. I don't have it all figured out. God, I am perfect in your eyes. But, and having that is also being able to, a lot of times I feel close to God when I'm screaming at him, which sounds like a love-hate relationship, but, you know, there's certain times when I'm like, God, this sucks, and I'm having trouble with this, and knowing that God is there and he's listening and he's allowing you to give your chunk to him and screaming at him and saying, you know what? Whatever, and you're like, man, I'm so grateful, God, that you are merciful and mighty and compassionate, because some of the stuff coming out of my mouth is like, yeah, if you're like, yeah, Val, okay, I'm going to answer that prayer, you know, I'd be bad. So... So just knowing that God's wise and he sees me as a child, being gracious in that, it's really good. Be that real with him. Be a song, and reading the Psalms. That's something I've been doing too, is reading the Psalms. Because most of them, you know, some of them you read, you're like, all of them are prayers. And it's like, wow, you know, saying, I want to smash the heads of that my enemies tend against the rocks, you know, stuff like that. That kind of stuff, that's being really real. The God of that's David's heart, or whoever, and that time probably wasn't David, but that's the heart of the person writing it, is trying to just get that out, and then allowing God to do with it, and on his vengeance, and his wisdom to be able to interchange us with
something. Being real.
Yeah.
Yep. And the love of God, and knowing not which of our prayers not to answer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, you know, that Valentine's Day has become so commercial, and the word love is just kind of thrown out there carelessly and frivolously, and especially in love on this time of year, it's just all, you know, love, 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 you know, and everywhere you go. And I think that as Christians, as a church, we just need to realize, you know, that we know what God's love is. We don't need to just accept that they're doing that. I think we need to be out there, do loving things for people, like what Scott, you know, has planned, just, you know, spread joy and show people what love is and be loving all year round, you know, but just to give it, you know.
Yeah. And have that, know that that's real and the nation is giving to others.
Yeah,
and God gives us and gives others.
Right.
Yeah, Scott?
I'm trying to think how to keep this short. So I was having a conversation this week, or last week, with an atheist. And she said, she says, I mentioned that God's made himself known and proven himself to be trustworthy. And she said, she answered, not to me, he hasn't. She said, I wish I could read it to you. She said, despite begging for it, I prayed with my Bible open, asking him to show me, you know, if he's real, as I was losing my faith. And and she felt herself an atheist now. So I wrote back and I said, what would that have looked like to you? What would you consider to be something, you know, evidence of God's love, or revelation of God's love to you? I expected something apologetics answer. And what she came back with was that thing Christians talk about when they say they know they know God. It's like a feeling. She said that, and I was like, that's what she was looking for. She wasn't getting this feeling of love, and she would have considered that to be real. I happen to know, though, that at the time she was praying that, she was in a cult. She's in a cult, praying for God to reveal himself to her. If God had given her a feeling, she would have attributed that to, oh, yay, and, you know, it would have been misleading to her. And every Mormon I've talked to, she's not a Mormon, but every Mormon I've talked to talks about a burning in the bosom. It's like they get to a place where they don't understand, or something's irrational and contradicts their faith. It's like, well, but I had this feeling. And so I wonder if some of the what people are asking about is it that sort of like an emotional feeling that you're yearning for? And not to poop on anyone's party or say that's a bad thing, but I guess I'm reiterating what God, Rob. But Rob, three letters, they both have an O in them. I'm just like the D and the whatever. What Rob and Sandra just said is it being relational. It seems to be God's plan. You know, like even Paul says, I can't remember where it is, but there's a verse where he says, and God comforted me by sending Timothy. You know, Paul could have said, God comforted me because I got this amazing feeling of his presence, which he does that, I think. But what we see in Scripture and God's vision seems to be, this is a communal thing. He could just like give us each these awesome feelings and we could just experience them by ourselves. But I think he brings us into each other's lives to speak truth and affirm, you know, his truth and his presence. And then I think the feelings come.
I'm going to take the last 5 minutes and kind of share my sabbatical story with you guys. 7 years ago, I had a pretty profound spiritual experience. Well, maybe that's quite the wrong phrase, because it sounds taking my wrong way. But anyway, I've been a pastor in Fort Collins for a long time and really appreciated so much about my faith, appreciated so much about just being confident about certain things, the reality of God. But the last number of years before that, the last few years before that, I would experience times of real loneliness, times of real emptiness, and times of like, where is the reality of my faith to me? And in relation to the love of God, where's the reality of the love of God to me? I could give an amazing sermon on the love of God. And I did it. You know, people go, oh, that's so encouraging. And, you know, in some ways it really is encouraging. But there was a way it was not all real, believed it all. And that was the wild, scary part. I believe all this, but it's not touching me. It's not real to me. There's something missing, something I need. And so I ended up in this Christian leadership thing where somebody was talking about sabbaticals, and I just was like, oh, my goodness, I got to do that, which is a little different than my normal perspective, because normally those ideas would roll out and I'd go, why don't you just go to work? What's your problem? But I just felt this deep thing like I got to do that, and I kept mentioning it to different people. I told my wife, and she said, well, why do you want to do that? And I said, well, I didn't really think I should. And then she looked right at me and go, you need to do that. And I said to my co-pastors, I think you need to do this thing. They said, why do you want to do that? And I said, well, I really think I should. They said, you need to do that. And that kept happening, and so they kicked me out. I was gone for 2 months all by myself. I jumped on my motorcycle, which is a keyless, successful sabbatical. And a guy in the church in Fort Collins had an empty rental house in Boulder City, Nevada. which is the only city in Nevada with no gambling. Because it was built to build Hoover Dam. So I went and I holed up and slept on the floor. Spent lots of hours walking and praying. I didn't talk to another soul for 7 days. Except the gas station attendant. And I'm just lost in the middle of nowhere, Utah, for a while. And just rode all over the place. But it was really kind of unsettling for me because I realized that there was no way I had any control over what was happening because I already knew all the answers. I knew every single right answer. The answer was not going to be the answer. Something had to happen that I had no control over. And so I'd walk and pray in an almost ominous sense of, wow, what if nothing happens here? Because I'm thinking, I'm not going to be able to keep going down this road unless something happens, but I don't have the foggiest idea what. I have no control because I already know all the answers. And I would just walk and pray and wrestle with God, and God, you got to speak to me. What's wrong with me? What's the matter? What do I need to figure out? And a couple times Pat came out, and once we went and saw Rick Beamer, some of you guys have talked with Rick Beamer, spent 3 days with him, and then Chris Gaines went out and spent 3 days with him. But the reason I share that all that stuff is because in that sense of, God, I have got to connect with you in some way I don't understand, and I can't control. I don't know how to make it happen, but I know it has to happen. There were times God touched my life in a way that is beyond the intellectual. And Pat told me, John, don't take any of your apologetics books. Don't take any of your, let me give you some music to listen to. Don't be hidden. And in that, I can remember certain times where I just had a moment in the presence of God. And I remember one of the first nights I was sleeping out in the middle of nowhere, just in the middle of nowhere, just along the side of the road. And it got dark, and I got scared. Like, oh my goodness, I'm out here all by myself. It's dark, and I have no idea who's coming by or what's going on or what's going to happen. And I was walking down the road in the dark. I was praying, and I just had to have this moment of, all right, my life is totally vulnerable to God. I had no control over what could happen here. And there was an experience of faith I can't describe that touched my life. There was another moment where I just remember just thinking about how crazy life is and having this time where I sense God's presence and we just laugh together. It's the weirdest thing, and I don't explain. There was a time at the end in the counseling time with Christiane where I learned something about myself that I never knew. That really had closed off a part of me that didn't know how to connect with God. And since that time, there's been a pathway in front of me where I've been able to grow in believing in the love of God. I'm much more emotional now. I cry over all kinds of things. I saw the guy just this last week. He had originally talked about sabbaticals. And he came up and said, John, there's some things about you that are just the same, but there's a tenderness about you that didn't used to be there. I said, that's your fault. And now I'm emotional all the time, and thanks a lot. But I share that because there is a place in this that we don't have our own control over, but we can seek God, and He made you and He loves you. And somehow now, I know God likes me. And I know He likes me. Now, I would have intellectually known that, and I might even have taught that 10 years ago. But somehow something inside says it. I just know things about God's heart that connect with me. They're real. It's on the inside. And it's not always there, but I know how to go get it. It's real to me. And as we set our hearts to seek God, it says in the Bible that God wants to be found. There's a lot in relationships we don't have control over, even with one another. There's certainly a lot in our relationship with God we don't have control over. But He wants you to find Him. He wants you to connect with Him. will you pursue or will you chase other things, other idols, other stuff? Will you go, God, I have got to find you? And not everybody gets the privilege of going to spend 2 months by themselves. But you can set your heart to be desperate to seek God if you feel that need. And you might be in a place where me and God are doing great. We're doing awesome. And there's certainly seasons like that. But I just want to tell you, when you feel that emptiness, when you feel like, where is he? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm seeking him. Like that lady said to you, I don't know how to explain that. All I'm saying is, he wants you to find him. Why did he make you? He made you because he wants to connect with you. That's why you're here. He desires to spend all eternity with you. He wants to connect now. He may convict you of something you need to get right. He may teach you something about yourself, like he did with me. But he's walking you down a road. In the end, you're real close, like something Paul talked about perfection. He's going to perfect us. Or David. But he loves you. He sees you. He's with you. And he wants to connect with you. I know that. I don't know how I know that, but I do. And all of us that are in that wrestling point, all of us that are in the middle of that, I want you to know that his desire is to resolve all the stuff that you wrote here. And we have a father that's a good father. I have a whole teaching on my sabbatical and the specific things I learned about me, and I thought I had a wonderful, amazing upbringing, which I did. But there was a part of something I didn't experience growing up, and so I didn't bring it into my relationship with God, and there was a hole there. And maybe sometime I could, you know, walk you through my sabbatical story and play my little video, and it's got lots of rocks pictures in it. But Jesus wants you to find him. And you can. He will be found. He will be found. He will be found. He's promised that. You will seek me and find me. Will you search for me with all your heart? And a lot of times that's harder than what we want it to be. But he says he's worth it. Are you willing to really seek him? If you do, you'll find him. So, as those that are loved, liked, cared about, if you've got kids, you know you love your kids. Who do you think you are? You're made by God as a child. All that stuff you feel for your kids. Bingo! That's what he sees when he looks at you. That's what he sees when he looks at you. You ever look at your kids and go, I wish I didn't even like you. I wish I could just throw you out. But something in your heart goes, I can't. That's how God looks at you. His heart cannot disconnect. He made you and he likes you. And moving toward that, we always want to be around people we think like us. I'm telling you what he likes, just so hang with him. Be with him. It's real, and one day it's going to be real to your eyes, to your ears, to your hands. And he's going to squeeze the pudding out of you. So let's I'm just gonna pass the bread and the cup around. This is a picture of his body. How much do you think he likes you? He died for us. I can't imagine what that'd be like to actually look at somebody and go, I'm gonna have to die if it's gonna work out well for this guy. I'm gonna have to die. Jesus looked at you and goes, I'm gonna have to die if it's gonna work out well for this guy. And I'll do it. And his blood. And so recognize this is him saying to you, when you take this, you're saying, I believe it. That's what you're saying. When you take this, you're going, hey, I believe it. This guy died for you. Give you something really, really good and really special. So let's just have us pray until the bread and the cup gets around, and then our day will be over.
Lord, I just thank you that you do like us.
Lord, it's really in a crazy world where it's so hard to connect with that because there's so many hard things. But the reality behind it all is you're with us. You walked in the mess, and you like us. You appreciate us. You value all the little good things. The good things are generally little, but you love them all. Thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you gave your life. And you said, I'm going to give my life to finish off what I started in you. Thanks, I'm going to be with you, God. I just can't wait to stand in your presence and get squeezed. Have you scoop me up. Can't wait for that day, God. Yeah. I just pray, Lord, that you'd help all of us sense the reality of that coming moment in our future.
Lord, help us to see clear that the life that you gave us was that we would have life to give to others. Lord, that we don't have to be perfect now, but we do have to follow you or follow your example if we want to experience that same life, that have the same security, the same confidence, the same relationship that you had as a father and just came to show us that more than anything. We were loved, we are liked. God does want us to know him. And what about, Lord, the people that haven't even heard that message? Something we can't keep to ourselves, so help us, Lord, to be serious about doing that act of love, that is, telling people about you.
Father, we just thank you that this cup and this bread is coming to each one of us individually,
yeah. It's
going into our individual mouths. Each one of us, but God, we're also drinking from the same cup and breaking the same loaf. We're part of a great body, God. You are God yourself. You've given us one spirit and one baptism and one faith. And God, I thank you for thinking of everything. For leading us individually, but also that this is a communion thing, and ultimately that we have communion with you. It's not just a theory or a metaphor, but we really have given us your spirit to dwell inside of us.
So that we can love you. We couldn't love you if it wasn't our choice. And so what a cool thing that you let us go, you released us, and then you woo us back to your heart. And that way we can love you.
Thanks, God, for giving us a stone soup sermon. Lord, I believe your voice was in these words. Different people. God, give us faith just to hear you. We brought to you a request that you'd speak to us about something. And are we going to say that you did not do that? Your words are there for us. Lord, help us to be humble, to listen, to receive, and to walk in what you spoke to our hearts. Different things to different people. But God, we want to be obedient. There is no relationship with you without obedience. You lead us into that which is good, but we must follow you there. And I just pray, God, that we would apply faith to what you did to us, to the grace that you gave, that we would meet you and receive you and walk. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Okay. Church still went out.